Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, we're live at NAB 2022. I'm in the Broadcast Bionics booth here in the North Hall, and we've got a huge selection of engineers to talk to, including Gary Morrill, Jim Offerdahl, and a whole lot more, and a cameo appearance from Jesus himself. It's next on Twerks.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio, audio problems disappear when you get angry at angryaudio.com. By Nautel, worry-free transmission you can count on with outstanding control, reliability, efficiencies, and Nautel's unmatched 24/7 customer support, online at nautel.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech, the show where we talk about everything from the light bulb at the top of the tower to the microphone, or in the other order, too. I'm Kirk Harnack. We're live at NAB 2022. And look, we're in the Broadcast Bionics booth in the North Hall. And we're going to be talking to Dan McQuillan, the crown prince of Broadcast Bionics. I guess he'll be here in a little bit later. We got a whole slew of guests. But first of all, the most important guest, because he's really the co-host, Chris Tarr. Hey, Chris, welcome in. Good to see you.
Hey there, Kirk. Good to be seen. I hope you're enjoying things over at NAB. I'm here with my co-worker Louie here at our own little NAB presentation where we're doing, you know, not much of anything.
Chris, I wish you were here. We've had a lot of fun. And look who's joined me here. My very own personal cameraman.
What's up, Kirk?
Hey,
hey Chris. Hey, how you
Bill.
Doing, man?
It's Bill Bennett from
Good
ENCO.
To see you. Greetings. Greetings. Happy NAB day four.
Now, I thought ENCO was all into radio automation. Here you are carrying on a camera. Right?
We got a lot of video stuff, too, these days.
Yeah?
So, you know, if there's media, we control it. We play it out.
So I saw one of your products in action at the Public Radio Engineering Conference.
Yes. Yep.
And it's called what?
So we have this great automated captioning product called Encaption, and, uh-huh. and we're evolving it to be used for radio, to make radio accessible for the deaf and hard of hearing community via captions.
Radio for deaf people.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which is it's a head turner of a concept, but it's a reality. If you've got a great interview program with somebody you're talking to like this, if you're deaf, you can't hear them. But if you can read the captions on their website or on a smartphone, then you know what they're talking about live. You can still ask them questions, too, that way, you know,
now,
by text.
You know, those of us who do social media, we sometimes see captions generated automatically by Facebook. Hey, can you really do that? That's amazing. Generated automatically by Facebook or by YouTube. And I see a lot of mistakes in that.
Oh, yeah.
What does Encaption do to be less mistake-prone?
It's kind of geeky, kind of cool. So there's really like three layers going on. One, there's like raw speech to text. But I like to say, if you paint your barn red or you read a book, how does it know the difference? Then it uses grammatical sentence structure analysis to determine the words ahead and behind some of these, you know, potentially multi-spelled words to nail down the exact spelling. Like the word two, there's three where you used to spell the word two, right? So it thinks, oh, the other words after that, that's where their sentence is going. And then it also is a way to add custom word lists and libraries for like names of people and things that are not, you know, English words. You know, and of course in America, we have a lot of Native American and French and Spanish terms of towns and people's names and stuff. So you can add those in manually.
I wonder if I said Natchitoches, Louisiana, or is it Nacogdoches, Texas? Maybe I got those reversed, but there's two towns that have really long names that are spelled kind of similar and pronounced totally differently.
You know, come on over and let's give it a shot. Okay. I mean, seriously, yeah, that'd be fun.
As long as it can get there, and there. Correct.
Yes. Yes.
In context.
If you speak proper grammar, it will work.
All right. Well, yeah. I ain't never been accused of speaking no proper grammar.
Well, you know, there's the first for everything.
So, Bill, good to see you.
You too.
What's anything new in the ENCO automation world?
There is. We've been spending a lot of time rebuilding our software behind containerized microservices. And of course, you guys tell us, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We are revamping our whole product line to make it more cloud native for customers who need to take advantage of cloud workflows. However, we won't forget on-prem as well. And so cloud and hybrid on-prem, you know, we need to address all those markets. And we are building it now to make it just that.
Cool.
So, yeah, it is cool. It's fun time.
All righty. I'll come see you.
Please do.
Take
great
care.
Seeing you,
all right.
My friend.
Take care, Bill. Thank you. Yeah, don't drop that. So we're at the Broadcast Bionics booth at NAB 2022. A big, huge thanks to Broadcast Bionics. They're providing the bandwidth for today's show. And I was about to use the Max Connect because that's been working great here. But Bionix had a connection, so we just hosed into that. You know, what's kind of interesting, Kristar, we solved a little interesting technical issue. We figured it out yesterday and wasn't sure how we were going to solve it because Bionix offered, hey, you can do your show from our booth. And we were getting ready to do a little test yesterday. And Bionix said, oh, there may be an issue. All of our power outlets in the booth are not just European. They're specifically British power outlets. You know, this kind right here.
Right.
And
yeah.
I said, I don't have my international kit with me. What are we going to do? So, Chris, you know what we figured out?
Alligator clips.
Yes, that's it. 240 volt alligator clips. My gosh. That's what Chris Tarr would have done, by golly.
Get her done.
All I actually needed was USB-C to power my laptop. And my laptop doesn't know if that power is coming from an Apple, you know, power supply or something else. So they got some good Haas power supplies here. And so I've got USB-C, their USB-C hosed into my laptop, and the laptop is none the wiser that it's actually going through an English power plug a few feet away.
You know, I actually, I bought from Amazon a really big battery brick, and I use that to power my laptop when I'm out in the field. So yeah, it doesn't really care where the power comes from as long as it's that USB-C adapter.
You know, those battery bricks, they do have good use. We did the SBE's membership meeting on Monday night, and I used a StreamYard to switch between three cameras. Well, two of the cameras were just iPhones, and they were being, just to make sure they didn't run out of battery, I had power bricks on them, and then they were hooked onto a tripod. So, yeah, we were assured power for the hour-plus-long meeting there.
A lot of useful what things. A world we live in when you can have those power bricks around.
I know. Hey, let's bring David Bialik in right here. David, how you doing? Good to see you.
Hi, Kirk. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, what's happening in your world? SBE, EAS, other things?
Well, I'm not involved with EAS, but I am.
AES, sorry.
But I'm also involved with the NRSC, and we had a meeting here on Saturday.
Yep.
And basically, it was just all the different NRSC committees are reporting in on what they're doing. And the committee that I chair is for metadata and streaming.
Okay.
And we're currently working on a recommended practice paper on how to work with metadata.
Oh, for streaming, yeah.
For streaming, and we're taking the old document that was there and totally redoing it because we want to. There are lots of new considerations that are going on right now, and also we want to make sure that ID3 is fully explained in it. We're looking at VAST from IAB and so forth because the broadcasters need to know how to work with the metadata because there's so much that you can do with it. It's more than just now playing information.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And that's what we've been doing.
What's the ultimate vision for metadata? What would the consumer experience ultimately be, do you think?
Wait and see, because that can keep it's ever evolving. I mean, you have your now playing information. But who knows? Maybe a streamer wants to run a contest. Maybe streamers want to send some news going across. Maybe it can be utilized for direct ad insertion and so forth.
Yeah.
So there's so much that can be done.
Cool. Thanks for the update. I appreciate it. No David problem. Bialik, you often hear him associated with the Audio Engineering Society, AES, right?
Yeah, that's one of my hobbies, I guess.
All right. Hey, David, thanks for joining us. We've got Jim Offerdahl coming up in a few minutes. I want to mention, Nautel. Nautel has done a couple of live broadcasts from here at NAB. They did a transmission talk Tuesday. That was yesterday, Tuesday. And they did the Nautel users group meeting from here. I think we have a quick message from Nautel. So let's hear that. Be right back.
Brian Gullickson made a good point, especially for folks on shared sites. And I know he's got at least one or two bolt cutters. Mm-hmm. How many times have you had the daisy chain of locks bypassed by somebody that didn't know how it worked?
Yep, many.
Nautel.com/webinars is the website. And if you go there right now, there's no more webinars in April, but they will be having more in May. So check back there at nautel.com/webinars. Come on in here, Simon.
Hello.
See, there's the camera.
Hi.
Right there.
Oh, hello.
I know it's
camera.
Fun to look at yourself.
Oh, it's much more fun.
Yeah, but you're not making eye contact
What's
with the audience.
What's my hair looking like at the moment? I'm worried about. Hello. Hello, audience. How are you?
It's so good to see you.
Good to see you.
You made the trip from New Zealand.
New Zealand. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
wow.
It's only 16 hours away or something.
So tell our audience what you do.
So we do, we build television, radio stations, infrastructure, a lot of it based around the TELUS products and Broadcast Bionics, where we are now.
Yeah.
And yeah, kind of more, kind of SIs, but very focused. So we have a really good range of products and partners that are just kind of, we think, really cool. And we do cool things with them. So.
We haven't seen each other in almost 3 years, right?
That's right, yeah.
We went to a Mexican dinner 3 years ago.
That's right,
yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So what's it like traveling across that great big pond and coming into Las Vegas?
It's quite surreal, actually. It's strange. Yeah, it's weird. Gosh, the Vegas has even changed. It's interesting. Someone put a big stadium, and suddenly you have a football team here. But anyway.
Don't the Raiders play there?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're no longer in Los Angeles, so that's fine.
Wonderful. So,
why not?
Technically speaking, I'm not sure we can disclose much, but there's been a rather large broadcaster was at a table just behind you a few minutes ago.
That's right.
Maybe you could talk about technology. What technology things is would an Australian broadcaster be concerned with now, so they can have a great workflow into the future? What are they looking at to improve their operation?
Well, I think not just Australia. I think it's the whole world, really.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, what we've learned the last 2 years is no one really knows what's going on, you know, what's going to happen next. And we have to have systems and we have to have technology that's going to support kind of the unknown. One of the other things that we've realized, the way people work has changed. Funny enough, anyone else noticed that Noah's in the office? That was true for broadcasters. So, you know, again, we're trying to find out, well, how is this going to be the future? You know, is this normal or is this just a blip? And actually, what do we learn from this? Are there ways that we could be making and producing content, which is, you know, doesn't have to be in a big studio? You still need them. But, you know, how do you manage all those remote locations? And how do you manage sort of your, like in some cases for large broadcasts right now, they're saying, well, how do we actually manage with probably less people in buildings as well? So, yeah. So that's kind of the mission at the moment, to do things with distributed systems. And we're talking a lot about infrastructure as a service as well, which is kind of big. And as I say, the key thing is we don't know what's going to happen next. So we need to make sure we're ready for that.
You know, when workflows are going on from homes and they're going back to a central location where there may or may not be many people, big corporations, small ones should be as well, but big corporations are big targets for malware and attacks and things like that.
Absolutely.
And so it seems like large customers are asking manufacturers to be more
cyber aware.
Yes. What does that look like in negotiating these things?
So one of the things is we, you know, trying to establish standards that we can use that everyone's going to be happy with, that we'll do the job, that we fit for purpose. I think like we are taking on board a new position in our team, which is really just looking after security, because so much what we're doing now is based on servers either in our rec room or in a client's rec room, but with remote access, right? So we can't make that same sort of closed environment we used to be able to do. And so, it's key. It's a really key part. And actually, even to participate in a lot of business now, it's a requirement. So, we have to be thinking about, you know, what are the threats in the environment we're working in. And yeah, people, a 15-year-old in his bedroom is actually one of our biggest threats right now.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Same can be true for a lot of emerging technology, you know. I think a lot of the time we used to think of, you know, competition in this industry being large names. But actually, the competition probably is coming from those 15 and 16-year-olds in their bedroom who have been making content over lockdown.
Yes,
and they're getting really good at it. And a lot of them can code.
Yeah.
And so that's a bit frightening as well. So, you know, make sure you've got a good 15-year-old on your staff, probably.
You know, during all this lockdown, my sons introduced me, of course, to Dan TDM over in England. That's a lot of fun. And then, of course, comedian Stephen He. Have you seen Stephen
No,
He?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. Got to look up Stephen He. All right. Hey, Simon, thank you so much.
Good to chat.
Good to see you. Safe travels back to Auckland. Kirk Harnack here live at NAB 2022. Chris Tarr, are you still there, buddy?
Oh, I sure am.
We're going to take a quick break, Chris, and when we come back, maybe you'll have some questions. We got a whole slew of guests just lined up and waiting here. Chris, did you consider coming out here, or was it not a possibility for you based on your workload this year?
Yeah, this year is just real difficult for me. As you know, we've been talking the past couple of shows. I have a lot of stuff going on this year, especially. I still have, I think, 3 or 4 more signals to put on the air. I've got a studio move. So I've got an HD transmitter to commission. So yeah, I've been a little bit busy, and you know, I miss it. I've been following along with everybody kind of reporting back with what's going on at NAB. So, I do miss doing that, especially now. With my new position and having all these stations to look at, you know, what's coming down the pipe and some of what's going on with new technology. But I'd like, hopefully can get a little bit of a report from you later on in the show with some of the things that you've seen.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea. We'll do that. In fact, we've got a couple of guests coming up who have won awards from industry magazine. So that's coming up in a minute. Hey, let's take a quick break and hear from, first of all, our host here at NAB 2022, Broadcast Bionics, and they're going to tell you about their studio systems. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to the Bionic Studio. The Bionic Studio brings all audience interaction to the fingertips of a production team in radio, TV, and podcast. Our workflow-led system is working 24/7 around the world for small broadcasters and national and international networks. Our telephony module, Bionic Talk Show, allows cost-effective centralization, remote operation, scalability, and resilience across an entire network of stations, but at the same time is used in single studio self-op environments. Social media curation and activity is now considered a broadcast critical part of programming. Bionic Social means the studio isn't overwhelmed with a wall of interaction from an ever-growing number of social platforms. We combine SMS, MMS, and email together with a speech-to-text service for listeners using smart speakers. We enable studio teams to curate, filter, and display all platforms in one place, and post text, images, and video content to multiple platforms in one operation. Effortless collection of video content with Bionic Director has helped position some of the world's most successful stations as leaders in viral content, generating appointments to listen and free marketing via retweets and shares. Bionic Contest enables end-to-end tracking of on-air competitions, live reads, and prizes. These could be on-air contests, automated SMS entry, or online. Anywhere and Skype TX for Radio brings high quality audio and video contribution into the studio with ease. No need for dedicated PCs to run different applications. Everything is controlled within the Bionic Studio UI, and incoming connections are visible to users along with all other platforms. Our codec integration enables connection, algorithm configuration, and directory to a wide range of IP and ISDN codecs. The Bionic Studio, a unique suite of products designed to enable your talent to work smarter.
A big thanks to Broadcast Bionics and the Bionic Studio for, first of all, sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech and for giving us some space to do the show today. We're live at the Broadcast Bionics booth here at NAB 2022. Flanking me on either side here are guys from Radio.Cloud, right? Radio.Cloud?
Yes.
Radio.Cloud. We have Christian Brenner. You've been on the show before. Hi.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Good to see you. And you brought somebody with you, Andrew Scaglione.
That's me.
Did I get the name right?
You got it.
Andrew?
You got the Andrew part right as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. So you guys do this automation that's cloud-based, right?
Yeah. Automation and live. That's new.
Oh, and live. Okay.
And we are an award winner.
That's what I want to ask you about.
Product of the year yesterday. Well, we got a nominee, and yesterday I walk in, I think, half hour late, and then the winner of radio is Radio Cloud. So we were extremely excited about this. And our booth was so busy the last days. So, and maybe Andrea wanted to tell a bit about what are we doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we not only won radio, we also won in the asset management, automation, and playout category. Those are kind of our two, you know, bread and butters, and it's a totally cloud-based automation system. Everything's done in the cloud, including our new live platform. We run it on multiple cloud providers, AWS, Azure, DigitalOcean as well.
Okay.
So that kind of reliability of multiple clouds, so in case one endpoint fails over, no redundancy at all.
Yeah. We had when we talked on the show months ago, it was primarily a voice track type system you upload. But now you have a live feature built into that, so you're live to the cloud and then to the transmitter. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's what we are doing. So you have your mixer. You can use it with a touchscreen, or even connect something like Quasar, or just a $300 Icon or Behringer MIDI device, and everything is mixed in the cloud. The playout is done in the cloud, and everything except your microphone, because that would have too much latency, is going to the cloud. Your microphone is leaked locally,
for the host. For your ear, yeah.
And then you can invite up to five different other persons. You click invite, like a Zoom call.
Yeah, yeah.
It creates a link. You see your colleagues. You can see this. So maybe in one of your next shows, we want to show it to you.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'll come over to your booth right after this show, and we'll take a look. Andrew, have you used this on the air yourself? Are you an on-air talent?
Used to dabble in on-air a little bit, but I've been playing around with it for the last couple of weeks, and even just in the last few weeks, it's taken leaps, and it really is amazing. We were testing it out last week. Our colleague Alex was in Germany. Christian was in Las Vegas. Myself and our colleague Sean were in Ohio, and all four of us, video chatting, could have done a live show, and you would have never known that the whole thing was going to the cloud and then back, all in that, you know, with minimal latency.
All right. So if people who are watching want to find out about this, they go to radio.cloud.
That's right? The website.
Is there some kind of demo there, video, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So that's exactly what we're working on now, is getting some new demos, some new videos up there. But of course, you can email us.
Yeah.
Our names at radio.cloud, Andrew at radio.cloud, Christian at radio.cloud. It's an exciting time, and that's what we're going to do, is create the content to inform everyone.
And are you U.S. based yourself?
U.S. based, just outside of Cleveland.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. And Telos is in Cleveland.
Telos is in Cleveland. Exactly.
Good deal. And you are where? Where's your base?
The next 3 months in the States.
Okay.
And originally from Munich, Germany, Bavaria.
Good deal. All right. Good to meet you guys. Christian, good to see you. Andrew, good to meet you.
Thanks for the time, sir.
All right. Chris Tarr is with us as well. Chris, You got a comment about, you know, this cloud is kind of a big thing, isn't it?
It is. And actually, Christian and I have talked about this this system before. And, you know, there's, unfortunately, right now, we're kind of locked into what we've got. But, you know, I looked at it briefly for our stations. And, the cloud thing is where it's headed. And it got touched on earlier where, you know, we're not working in radio station buildings anymore, you know, and let's face it, I don't think that's, we're ever going to go back to that. The new facility I'm building in La Crosse, I think we've got 5 or 6 stations operating out of there. And I really only have 2 studios, because we're never going to have that kind of thing going on again, where we're going to have a building full of people. So, you know, the cloud automation is really starting to make sense for things like that, for redundancy, and the fact that really now it doesn't matter where your automation system is based at, because there's really no reason for it to physically be anywhere, because there's not going to be buildings full of people anymore. So I am interested. I've been following this very closely, and I definitely think, that's what the future of automation is going to be.
I think you're right. A lot of cloud-based stuff here. We're at NAB 2022. I'm in the Broadcast Bionics booth. Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks. And look who's with me here. It's the former president of SBE.
I am a former president, yes. Yeah. I brought my own lower third.
Chris Shearer. There you go. Hi, Chris. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Kirk.
We've been spending some time together here
at
the SBE functions.
More than I'm comfortable with, but yes. I have to note, I had a note to come over for a cameo with Kirk. I was wondering if that's another title you've considered. It's probably better than the Twits on Twerd, I'm guessing, right?
Tell us what's happening with SBE these days.
Well, we are exhibiting, like a lot of people here, the SBE, and actually, isn't it good to be back, by the way?
Yeah,
I know
it
you've
is,
heard that a lot of times.
Oh, my gosh.
We have a bunch of meetings. The board of directors met this time around on Sunday morning.
Right.
We had our annual membership meeting and member reception on Monday evening. Our booth is out in the north central between and the lobby hallway between the north and central halls. So if you're here, come out and see us. Last chance. Got a lot of good contacts being made. We got a lot of new members signed up. A lot of renewals, memberships made. So it's a good week.
Probably one of the biggest pieces of news that nobody's talked about yet is the fact that Kirk Harnack on the board of directors, I'm stepping down at the end of my term. There was that little issue that it got taken care of, you know, some money changed hands and everything was okay now. But I'll be stepping down and someone else would be eligible to run to take my place.
That is true. We do have annual elections. Board of directors serve 2-year terms, as you know, and you've reached your term limit on that.
Yes.
Unless you wanted to run for an officer, you still have eligibility for that.
I don't know. I don't feel qualified.
Except your trumpet fanfare and gracefully bow out. That's the polite thing to do.
If SBE members would like to run for the board of directors, what are qualifications to run for that board position?
You must be a member in good standing at the membership or I believe associate membership grade. You must be engineering level certified, which would be the broadcast radio engineer or broadcast television engineer or broadcast networking engineer.
So there's an E on the end of your title.
An E on the end of the certification title or higher. Yeah. So CPBE, et cetera.
I think Chris Tarr should run. What do you think?
He has run. He is a past board member himself.
He's not
twice,
now,
so actually.
He can run.
Twice? Do you have two separate runs or two consecutive terms?
Two separate runs,
I don't remember.
Actually.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, one in 06 and one just recently.
There's always a chair for you, man.
There you go.
But the I guess just for a matter of the formality, the nominations committee submitted a slate of candidates to the board at the meeting.
Yes.
But floor nominations are still open.
All right.
So I think the simplest answer is contact the national office if you have an interest in running, and we can give you the details on that. You just have to get the support of, if I remember, it's 10 SBE members in good standing to support your floor nomination.
Chris could probably find 10.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's pushing it with 9.
And I'll nominate him to stand on any floor.
He's an upstanding young man.
That's right. Oh, you
Chris,
guys.
Good to see you, man.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next SBE meeting, the big one, is in New York?
In the fall, we'll be joining up with the SBE Chapter 22 Broadcasting Technology Expo. That is late September, and I really must be getting back to school, as Rod Stewart said. 28. I think is the date, 29, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it'll be up in Syracuse.
All right.
Come join us at the national meeting as well.
Good deal. Good to see you again. Thanks. Take care, Chris.
Good to see you, Chris.
Hey, up next, we've got a really innovative broadcaster from England. His name is Joe. He's standing by. Chris, come on in. Come on in, Joe. Good to see you. How are you?
How are you?
You and I got to spend a few minutes together yesterday, you showing me X keys.
Yes, I'm on the X keys booth, not only showing their controllers, but my software central control.
That is your software central control.
Guest appearance on their booth. Yeah.
Good deal. So, and I'm sorry, I didn't give you a proper introduction. Tell me, who is Joe DeMax?
I've been live streaming half my life.
Yeah.
I think we've crossed paths many times before.
Yeah.
I kind of switched gears a few years ago to doing software development and kept adding features, and it's so exciting to. I started this project in lockdown, so it's amazing to be here at a show and actually get to talk to my customers face to face and kind of better understand their needs and what they're doing.
I want to talk about your central control software in just a moment. When I told Suncast that you were going to be a guest on the show, he said, "Oh my gosh, Joe's a friend of the GFQ network. That's terrific."
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been around the network for maybe 10 years, a decade. How has it been a decade? I think you've been here for a decade as well.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Time flies.
It does. It does. And
hey,
Chris
Tarr has
been around the show on and off for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Blink and you'll miss it.
Yes, exactly. So what is central control? You showed me all kinds of really cool button panels and customizable things.
Yeah. So central control allows you to plug in a whole bunch of controllers or maybe just one.
Yeah.
And then control a bunch of devices. A lot of video producers, even radio engineers, we're one-man bands now. So we've got this need to be able to have 10 hands. Well, central control won't grow you an extra 8 hands, but it will let you control all of these devices and kind of tie them in from one panel. I believe it's being used to produce this show right now.
That's what I've heard. That Suncast is, so he has a customizable panel in front of him that talks to the PC and makes it do what, various presets that
cut cameras and vMix, roll titles, all that kind of thing. A big use that we kind of found out for it over the pandemic was people started moving their production stuff to the cloud.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're connecting over IP. That could be on the same network. It could be the same computer, but it could be a system running virtualized in another continent. And that, I mean, that was kind of the catalyst that just made this thing blow up over the last 2 years.
You gave me a short demo yesterday, and I think a demo is the way to see this. How can engineers watching our show understand and see Central Control?
Yeah, so the website is centralcontrol.io. There's a free 30-day trial there. But we're also very active on YouTube. We're attention seekers, so we like to make video tutorials, so on and so forth. Many demos there. Central Control on YouTube.
Central Control on YouTube.
Yep.
Kurt, good. Joe, good to see you, man.
Good to speak to you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
I'll see you later. Oh, Chris, it's really exciting, all the stuff that's going on around here, the technology and ways to make things work better for engineers and for operators, too. Look who's here. Yegor is here. I guess he's next in line. He jumped in front of the line, but he's right here. Come on. Come on in, Yegor, and bring your box with you.
Yeah. This is a magic
box. So, Yegor, you've been on the show. Am I saying your name right?
Yeah, you are exactly saying it right.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Yeah, I feel myself still jet-lag, so it's like a 500 millisecond latency, you know, going through my brain, you know.
Come on in close. Now, a lot of folks notice, hey, dude's got a Russian accent. I thought we were having a little trouble with Russia right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about where you actually live.
I live in Latvia. I'm not living in Russia.
Latvia.
Yes.
Yeah. Your family's there too?
Yeah. It is if somebody asks, you guys say, I moved out 10 years ago almost.
Yeah, I'm going to scoot this way a little bit.
Yes.
So you're a real technology guy. You used to work with me at Telos Alliance.
Yeah. God bless this 5 years because that gave me a huge technology boost and understanding things, how the things work and everything. Make me love audio over IP and all the technology and connected to that.
Well, speaking of IP, you've got a box right here that's kind of special. Tell me about what this box is.
That's the box. And this, it quite looks simple. So it is a switch. So your regular switch, which is looks like whatever you can, can probably look something like that by something like that, by Ken Staples or in Cisco or, you know, Arista. There's a difference. On that small box, which have all the functionality of current multicast manageable switches.
Right.
So it can do live wire like magic, no problem. It has a clock.
I'm going to show the people the back of this thing. It's got a connector on the back.
Exactly. And this is how you recognize this. So this is where you can reference by 1 PPS to external GPS Grandmaster clock.
Yeah.
But it has actual clock inside. Inside there is a PDP oscillator, PDP V2 oscillator, that you can actually distribute through different VLANs within the switch and basically clock every mixer, every node, every AS67 device in your facility to this switch.
Yeah.
You don't even actually need the external clock or external reference because it's pretty much self-contained PDP clock.
So it has arbitrary clock built in, but you can discipline it to GPS.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can elevate, say, it's for, say, to level 4 within, say, AS67 PDP V2 clock domain. So I can make it higher up with this. But again, it's self-contained. It has its own oscillators, its own clock generator. Right. Actually, you can have up to 4 clock domains in both transparent or boundary ordinary mode, and you can distribute it through the different VLANs in here. Or even you can have this clock transmitted to the boundary switches down below the chain, the same like this one, or to the other, you know, brands that you just, passing by this clock as in transparent mode or just pass through other switches that doesn't have such capability. So, and I believe for anything ES67, as other vendors love us, just to have it in our booth, you find probably half a dozen of the switches around this show.
Yeah.
It different vendors' booth, like big ones.
Chris, I don't know about you, but Yegor is talking about 3% above the level of my knowledge. I recognize most of the words and a couple of the concepts. Chris, what do you think about a switch that's got that PTP built in, either arbitrary or disciplined? Does that sound pretty useful?
Oh, absolutely. Because that's one of the biggest things about audio over IP, especially, is the timing. And if that timing isn't right, then you're going to have issues. Now, if you're talking about like a mixed facility, that is even better. You know, you'll be able to keep everything timed precisely. And that means no dropouts. It means perfect sync. I think that's great. And especially if it's configured for audio over IP, you know, talk about plug and play. That's fantastic.
Pretty much. Like, you have a basically a 30-second setup on the two pages of instruction we supply with every switch, a couple check marks and QoS, define what kind of clock you want, and you're done. That's it. It's working.
Jaeger makes everything sound so easy.
That's one of the biggest things. That's one of the biggest issues I find with people setting up new LiveWire networks or AES-67 is switch configuration, because you can't always take an off-the-shelf switch and put it in and have it work for these systems. So to have something that's already set up with that in mind, you know, that's a big deal.
Yeah. It's interesting because this switch has a way of configuration for both nerd people who love to use command line interface, you know, the black hole that I don't have a mind for. Or, you know, a muggle, normal people, web interface, like, you know, in Axie equipment, for instance. And it's pretty much easier. It saves everything. It even has, like, a manual in it. So basically click the question mark, and it explains what kind of function we are looking at and how to use it. So, yeah, it's actually very convenient and easy to set it up.
This switch is called the 1G. How do you say that?
Yeah, so it's a Quara 1G. So this is basically 1 gig switch. Uh-huh. And we also have a 10 gig, 24 ports, which has a 10 gig backbone.
Really?
And 10 gig SFE ports to 10 gig SFE plus capability. And yeah, we have our own SFEs, a couple, say, for 20 kilometer delivery. So we can have pretty much distant studios, but still in sync.
And people, to get to your website, what would that be?
If they go to our website, they have all the full catalog of the devices they have, but actually, if they find a way to contact me, and I believe plenty of the viewers of your podcast know, you know, the way to reach out to me, whatever, it's Facebook or anything.
Okay.
Yeah, and just I will give them the door to my switch in my lab. So you can look into interface on a switch under a payload, and this payload contains Dante, Ravenna, all mix of, you know, whatever, with torrents and everything. So you see how the switch works and actually how easy to configure it.
Good deal. Jaeger, thank you so much
thank
for coming
Thank you for
along.
The time, yeah, and thank you for the chance to tell about it.
It's good to see you again. Safe travels back home, my friend.
Thank you. Okay? Same to you.
All right. Hey, it's Kirk Harnack. We're live at NAB 2022 in the booth of Broadcast Bionics. Hey, is Jesus leaving? Jesus! Jesus is here. We got to talk to Jesus for 2 seconds. This is my good friend and former colleague, Jesus Mantu. Hello, Jesus.
Hey, how are you doing?
It's good to see you.
Very good to see you, indeed.
How's the wife and kid?
Very well. Very well.
Yeah?
You know, I think, you know, when your son Michael was born, and after that, only I had my daughter, Prisha, was born. And they're almost same age.
Almost the same age.
Yeah, and then what all you also share, what your son is doing around, you know, it's all great. The Prisha follows sometimes, and it's all good fun.
I know. I see you guys on Facebook. So you're in India, in Delhi?
Yeah, I'm in Delhi.
Yeah. And so you're helping radio stations all around?
Lots of radio stations. In the pandemic, I think we were very active because of all the software things we have, the tools, how we can send the audio from the homes with the preview and the headphones. With RJ sitting at home, they can use the software. It's really helpful.
And by the way, when Jesus says RJ, the rest of us knows DJ.
Exactly.
DJ, the DJ's at home.
Yeah.
So RJ is what? Radio jockey?
Radio jockey. So it's very popular. You have been to India. You know the culture very well.
I know. Hey, Chris. Chris, isn't it cool I'm here talking to Jesus? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I knew that joke was coming.
Do you want to do any confession?
Confession. You know what?
I have to confess, I would not do in public.
Hey, Chris, I got to tell you, one day Jesus and I were walking around Mumbai or Delhi, I don't remember. It was a hot day. Yeah. It was a hot day, and we're going to cross a street. We're waiting for the traffic, and I kind of wiped my brow, and I said, Jesus. And he said, it's the sweetest name I know. Good to see you, man.
Yeah.
All right. You take care.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Chris, we're broadcasting live from NAB 2022, and I'm so glad to be back. And he's just smiling faces everywhere. Who's coming in next? Is it Jim? Are you coming in next? Sure. Come on in. Jim Ragsdale is here. And, you know, I just realized, Jim, I need to do an ad. You can help me out here. By the way, you haven't seen Gary Morrill handy, have you?
Out there.
Yeah, okay. He said he'd come by. He'd come by later on. All right. So, Jim, I don't know. You've not really been in the radio business yourself.
Right.
I should mention, Jim Ragsdale is the executive director of the Society of Broadcast Engineers.
Yes.
Welcome on board. You've been here
over a year and three months.
Good deal.
January 2021.
We searched and searched for the best new executive director after John Poré resigned, and the best we could do was Jim Ragsdale.
Yeah.
Well, once you figured out what's the best one passed.
What's that, Chris? I'm sorry.
Once the best candidate passed on the job, you know, they talked right. to Jim.
I was the second best candidate.
Well, Jim's going to help me demonstrate something called the headphone disconnector. Now, Jim, you pretend that you are a headphone amplifier.
All right.
And I am just a really inept disc jockey or sports announcer or something like that. And I've got my headphones on. Now, you are the immovable object.
Right.
Because you are bolted to the furniture.
I'm locked down.
You are. And I'm going to get up and go to the bathroom during a break, and I have my headphones still wrapped around my neck, and here's what happens. Look at that. Boom. The headphone disconnector does just that. It disconnects. It saves the connector on your equipment. In fact, we could demonstrate this even better by actually plugging this into a headphone amp available from Angry Audio, one of our sponsors. So it's the Angry Audio headphone gizmo. And the Angry Audio headphone disconnector. Now hold this at an angle like that, so I don't pull out of there. And the sports guy, I don't know why I pick on sports guys. I'm sorry, that's not really very nice. Gets up and bam. Now this also works with that's a quarter inch connector, but also works with the 3.5 millimeter size of headphone amp. Of course, it's got the jack right there on the headphone gizmo. And the guy gets up, walks away, just disconnects, and it goes right back.
I've experienced that.
Yeah. Have you? Yeah. Well, many engineers have had to repair their headphone amps, especially if it's one. Well, we also have this kind right here from Studio Hub, and it's a little more lighter weight. So you could do some damage to this if you yanked on it hard enough. Yeah, but that's from Angry Audio. The website is angryaudio.com. Of course, they've got the Studio Hub adapters right here, headphone disconnector, and all these gizmos and gadgets. Really good stuff from Angry Audio. Check it out. You're going to love the things that they offer. Really help you to build better studios and have better operations. I see their gadgets going in studios everywhere I go. Hey, our show is also brought to you by Josh Bone at Max Connect Wireless. We've got a quick testimonial. Be right back.
With all of the recent cybersecurity attacks against large corporations, we were looking for a product that would give us the ultimate in security at our transmitter sites and as well as with our broadcast equipment. Max Connect fits the bill very well. Its greatest security feature is the fact that it gives you a single static IP address. Using this single static IP address allows us to close hundreds of open ports on our firewalls across the company and restrict access to only the Max Connect IPs. This has greatly reduced our exposure to the World Wide Web and made us much more secure moving forward. It's also given us the ability to expand as needed in a secure fashion.
That's John Talcock talking about Max Connect from Max Connect Wireless. There's one of them. This is the PepWave model. And then there's also a CradlePoint model. There's others as well. But, you know, it really doesn't matter. The model doesn't matter, because what does matter is the SIM card inside from Max Connect Wireless. It tells the phone carrier, whether it's AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, Sprint, it tells the phone carrier, hey, I get extra special service. I get a dedicated bandwidth, and I get a fixed IP address, and these things work from so many locations where something like a MiFi type hotspot is, or using your own phone as a hotspot, is questionable, because if you have a lot of usage, you're going to have lost packets or a slower bit rate, whereas Max Connect Wireless keeps you connected and gives you reliable packet delivery. Thanks, Josh Bone, for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. And thanks also to Angry Audio for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. Okay, now we're with Jim Ragsdale. Jim, the SBE turnout here has been really terrific. I was delighted with the member meeting that we had Monday.
Yeah, I've run into more members just out in the hall who stayed over. They were ham radio operators and went to the ham reception.
Yeah.
And we
We just sold a book to somebody who won a prize and was really excited about seeing our booth. And
speaking of books, you know, SBE has a great selection of books to help engineers, whether you're a seasoned professional and you just need to brush up on some aspect, or you kind of need to, you're starting out, maybe you're a student. Or maybe your engineering expertise lies in a different area and you need to learn about broadcast.
Right. Reference books. I think we have a great selection of reference books that engineers are using on a regular basis.
We have those in our booth here, but they're also available on the website, right?
Right. Yeah. SBE.org. We have a huge library of options there.
I heard a rumor that we sold a bunch of books this morning to somebody.
We did. Yeah. Should I name names?
Position, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, CEO of
a big company.
Of a big company. Big sponsor here.
I'll take one of those. I need to brush up.
He bought six of them. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What do you think's ahead the next year for SBE? What are we looking forward to?
I think we're looking forward to a lot more face-to-face activity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the educational components, we're just going to continue to roll out great educational content that folks can enjoy 24/7 on demand. So. And we're continuing to look for ways that we can better meet the needs of our members, both the individual and the corporate members.
You know, one of those is a fantastic video webcast. It's great. It's the SBE Web Extra. We do a 1 hour, typically an hour, kind of almost not quite like an SBE meeting, but we bring an expert in for 1 hour every month, typically the third Monday in the afternoon. And those are on. They're streamed live on Facebook and on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And so and you can see all the older ones too.
Right, right. The library is tremendous. And I mean, you've made several it's just, and Wayne Pacino is probably one of our most popular instructors.
Chris Shear's the co-host on that. He was on here a little while ago. Skip Peasy was on just a couple of months ago talking about some interesting ATSC3 transition techniques.
Right, in New York.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And the magnetic tape one was quite interesting.
They're still making cassettes.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
my
was
goodness.
Amazing. I did not even know that.
Yeah, Chris Shear did a bang-up job on taking us on a factory tour of how they still make cassettes. People still buy them. Jim, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. Jim Ragsdale is the executive director of the Society of Broadcast Engineers. Hey, Chris Tarr, we've got Dan McQuillan is coming up next. He is the founder of where we are right now, Broadcast Bionics. Thanks again, Jim. And Dan, hi. Good to see you.
Great to be back, I have to say.
Thank you again for letting us be in your booth here and providing us some bandwidth. I know that's freaking expensive.
Everything about Vegas and this show is expensive, but we've just been flabbergasted this year how everyone's coming up and saying, oh, last year. So I know it was 3 years ago since we did this, and it's just such a privilege and a pleasure to be seeing our industry dynamic, doing things alive, incredible number of people that we've seen. Great quality of visitor we've had to the show, and really interesting projects happening. People doing all sorts of stuff.
I just, Dan,
my head doesn't fit in.
I've got to tilt the camera up, and when Dan sits down, he's still taller than me. So let me tilt the camera up just a hair. There we go. Now we'll have Dan's entire head in. So we've seen this running behind us, the Bionic Studio. Can you give us a little idea of what that means?
Yeah, so there's kind of three areas on the booth. So we're standing in the Bionic Studio area, which is our kind of flagship product, which we've been doing really for the whole history of the company. It used to be known as Phonebox when we were the talk show guys.
Oh, okay.
So, but eventually it became confusing because we had talk show, which we went, wait, if you're the engagement guys, it's not just phone calls anymore, right? It's SMS and we added social media, so Facebook and Twitter, and we're showing WhatsApp and Instagram and those sorts of things at the show. Yeah. So that added what we called Oasis. Then we added Director, which was our camera switching. And then it confused people because it was called Phonebox and it did all these other things.
So
a few years ago, we rebranded that as Bionic Studio, which is Bionic Talk Show, Bionic Social, Bionic Director, and Bionic Contest. So that's this first area of the stand that we're kind of in. And that's kind of demonstrating a traditional full studio with the kind of full suite of products. And then behind me, we have the One products, which are kind of all of those concepts, but shrunk down to what we say that, you know, a product that anyone can use and everyone can afford, but essentially the same, you know, talk show and camera switching kind of technology.
Yeah, we've run a lot of ads for the Camera One product. That's been pretty popular, easy to install. And
yeah, I would say at the show, the two things that have really garnered attention are the table area behind you, that you know, everyone I think is now looking to do visualization, and Camera One lets us do that you know, using just those little ATEM Black Magic boxes, so just for a few hundred dollars and you know, HDMI cameras. So yeah, that has probably been at the show. But we ran out of Camera One brochures on like day, you know, partway through day two. So that's a kind of a mark of the fact that yeah, people are coming up and going, oh yeah, I need that.
Yeah. All right, and then you mentioned the table that's behind me. What's that?
Yeah, so the table is kind of our concept car kind of at the show. So that's becoming a product. We talked about it a few years ago. We did a Twert episode on it. But it's now a real thing. It's a real physical table behind you. And it's, to me, as a designer, that's the best fun at the show. Because I've been talking about that with people. And you know, you see them sort of go, well, what is that? And then you describe what it is. And then you see that moment when the light shines in their eye and the cogs start turning and they do a little dance and they turn to them and they're like, you know, and they realize what the potential of that is.
If I turned around and looked briefly, just to remind myself, there's a nice modern looking table over there, four microphones on it, some headphone jacks, and I don't see a mixer. I don't see any other infrastructure. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so the table is just that. It's a table, as you say, four microphones, four headphones, and nothing else.
Yeah.
And yet the magic is that table can do everything that this Bionic Studio and that console can do, and that gives us three really cool things. The first cool thing is a physically simple space. It takes a long time to build these studios. They're hard to move around the building. They're not very flexible. So what's the simplest physically, mechanically, and electrically a studio can be? A table with four microphones and four headphones. Secondly, it's all operated through a simple browser interface. So not only is it simple to build, it's also incredibly easy to use. So talent can self-operate. There's no specialist, you know, operation required. You just control it from your device. But the third thing that really gets people excited is it generates a different kind of content. Because when we enter into a studio, you put your radio voice on. And I, as a guest, am intimidated because there's all this stuff and paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Whereas if we just sit around the table, we just sat at a table with four microphones, and it's more conversational. It's kind of more intimate.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're positing the thought experiment as well as a product. What if studios looked like that instead of looking, you know, like the big studio behind us? Now, we think that the future will be a mixture of both.
Right.
People will still build studios. And if it's a big Zoo format breakfast show, you're not going to make that at the table.
Right.
But we think facilities will increasingly need additional spaces and areas to make new kinds of content. And that could be a dedicated table like that, or it could be a table in a meeting room that is multifunction. So at some points it's just a meeting room, and at other times it's a table used for podcast or recording. So yeah, that's been probably the most exciting thing, is to see people start with kind of no idea what we're talking about and then go away excited about all the possibilities of how we might use those in different kinds of spaces.
You mentioned that people are not intimidated by that. They tend to just be comfortable talking because the equipment kind of disappears, yeah? And so it's more person-to-person, just enough equipment to capture the content that's being created right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's back to that cushions and daylight thing
again.
We talked about many years ago, but yeah, the way you inhabit a space and how a space feels informs the kind of conversation that you might have. Am I performing? Am I thinking, you know, very cautiously and judiciously about what I say, or are we just having kind of friendly, intimate conversation? And so when you come to the table, you know, it was part of my original philosophical construct of the table, is the table is not just a place to put your stuff.
Yeah.
A table is a place to tell a story around. It's a place where we talk. It's a place where we listen. It's a place where, you know, we're used to engaging with each other. We don't do that in studios. We broadcast from studios. We interview from studios. And I think it's one of the reasons podcasts are quite popular. Mm-hmm. They tend to be produced in that sort of more informal environment. And if we can make that informal environment, but integrate it into our traditional facilities, and having done that, you know, that works nicely with Axia and Livewire. And so I can bring those microphones up on that traditional mixer if I want to.
Right.
I want to use it as a voice booth. So it plays nicely in an enterprise, but it equally gives you that kind of intimate feel.
Wow. Dan, it's amazing what you've done here. Thanks for explaining that to us. If people want to, well, we mention this on the show all the time. Bionic.radio, you can see examples of what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's been, you know, we've talked about it on Twitter, but publicly it's launched here, so it's now on the website, and there's videos and stuff from the show. Yeah.
And you've got some broadcasters already putting this to use, right?
So we've been prototyping it with the BBC over the last period of during lockdown, and with Southern Cross Stereo in Australia. Yeah.
Cool. Good deal. Dan, thanks very much. Dan McQuillan, the proprietor, founder of Bionic. Broadcast Bionics in England, and they're here at NAB 2022. All right. Chris Tarr, I take it you're still there, right? We got one more quick break to do in a minute. Chris?
Yep, I'm still here.
Good deal. Good deal. Let's see. We're going to have at least one or two more people. Oh, yeah. We got a contract engineer coming up, Jim Offerdahl. He's been standing by for a while. And we'll be right back after this word from VoxPro. VoxPro lets you produce terrific phone calls and more. Let's check it out.
Hey, what's happening? St. John here, coming to you from Command Central, and wanted to tell you about the absolute best partner you can have in radio. I'm talking about, boom, Wheatstone's VoxPro. Lots of different audio software out there. Why VoxPro? It's the only software designed to do what we needed to do, which is record, edit, playback in real time. When I say lightning fast, I'm going to show you how fast you can edit stuff up in VoxPro right now. Literally three clicks on the controller, mark left, mark right, everything that gets marked, you hit delete, it goes away. It's literally that fast. So we're going to take this part right here. Boom. From caller nine to him saying, I'm ready.
Five. Ready for that secret sound.
Boom. All of that stuff. Hit delete. It goes away. Here's your edit.
You are tackling secret sound, caller nine.
I'm ready, St. John.
So one of the best features of version 7, this is awesome. It's effects macros, and you can literally put a chain of effects together so that instead of having to normalize a phone bit and then use noise reduction on it and EQ it and all that, you can literally build a chain. One button, this button, this one's called call right here. I just click that. All of those processes happen instantaneously. Final thing that I love about VoxPro, and there's so much more to get into, but one of my favorite things, you can load it on a laptop. I've literally done my show from a hotel room in Armenia to the conference room at, yeah, this was fun, jury duty. Great thing, no one could tell the difference. VoxPro makes it totally easy. Telling you, if you're looking for the best on-air partner, call my friends at Wheatstone, ask them about VoxPro, and you will be glad you did.
And you can get VoxPro at Broadcasters General Store. The website is bgs.cc. You give them a call. They'd love to talk to you on the phone at 352-622-7700. That's 352-622-7700. For Broadcasters General Store, they have VoxPro and everything you need to build your radio station. Look who is flanking me on left and right now. Tall guy over here is Jim Offerdahl. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Kirk. How you doing?
I'm great. It's good to see you in person.
Well, it's good to see you again.
And over here, we have Gary Morrill. Hi, Gary.
Howdy. Greetings and salutations, sir.
That's good to see you.
Likewise.
I've been seeing a lot of you in the last couple of days.
Probably more than you wanted to.
Gary's a board member. You know, I've decided to step down from my position on the board.
I saw that, and I'm saddened.
Yeah, well.
But I know you have things to do.
No, actually, they won't let me run again.
Oh, well. I try not to run whenever possible.
I have to sit on my hands for a term.
I just walk.
All right. So, Jim, we haven't gotten to talk to you yet on This Week in Radio Tech full time. So we'd love to have you on for an hour sometime in the future.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll you've got that. Hours of stories to tell. I know you
I
do.
Probably have a few.
So you do contract engineering out of the northern central Minnesota?
Right. We're headquartered up in northern Minnesota in a small town, my hometown of Fauston. And we do contract engineering for clients in the greater northern half of the state of Minnesota from about St. Cloud north and then pretty much all of North Dakota.
I understand that you are good friends with a good friend of this show, Mark Persons.
Oh, Mark is my mentor. If not for Mark, I wouldn't be standing here. Absolutely. Well, very good friends.
Well, Chris Tarr, our co-host, he's my mentor. He's taught me a lot. Chris, any questions for Jim Offerdahl today?
Well, Jim and I are friends on Facebook, so I've asked him questions before. And so, you know, both of those handsome gentlemen I've had plenty of time with.
Yes. Yeah. Good to see you, Chris. One day we'll get to shake hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gary as well.
So have you had a tip or anything you can – it's actually the end of the show here. We usually do a tip of the week. You stand by. I'm going to need a tip from you pretty soon. you're building studio. You've built studios in Fargo. You've implemented some audio over IP there. Mm-hmm, yeah. We still have engineers viewing who have limited or no experience with audio over IP. I work for the folks at Telos, so I'm very familiar with LiveWire and AES-67. Yep. What are you finding about audio over IP? How is it helping either you as an engineer or your customers to get done their content creation reliably?
Well, you know, for us as an engineer, it's the time savings aspect. And so we're able to roll out a studio and not have the disruption in service of cutting it over. It just really simplifies the engineering side. Less wiring, less wires to connect, very little soldering anymore, although we all enjoy soldering, but that's the key right there.
Yeah.
You bet. So from our standpoint, that's a big part. But, you know, the clients that I have that have built audio over IP, it makes their ability to manage their facility so much easier in times of trouble in particular. Mm-hmm. And of course, you turned me on to the LiveWire Delegation Selector software that for a free piece of software lets, and I've had clients have to do it. Problem with an engine, for example, in a studio, and need to just reboot it, that's all. But what do you do to keep audio on the air while you go through that process? Yeah. You just click the mouse, boom. In the old days, we'd have had to wire up switchers to do all that, and it's just really simplified that. And then the big thing, and one of the clients, the first one that we built out with Axia here a couple of years ago, one of the points was our travel to their facility is 3 hours, okay? Yeah. They want to make a simple change in audio routing. Well, in the old days, we'd get in the truck, drive 3 hours there, and we'd cross-connect a pair of wires, and we drive 3 hours home. Now, what do I have to charge them for that as a contract engineer? You know, I got to charge them for all that travel.
Yeah.
Well, now I can remote in, and unless, you know, I mean, in most cases, cross-connect remotely.
Yeah,
and so absolutely. That's big cost savings for the clients.
Have you had any interesting RF projects lately?
Oh, we're doing RF projects all the time. Of course, new RF projects is one thing, and then keeping old RF projects on the air is another thing. Yeah. And we've had some interesting troubleshooting that we're actually in the middle of. So it's just one of those things that we do. We keep the transmitters that need to stay running. We keep them running, and when it's time to retire them and put in new, we'll be doing that. And we've got a few new transmitters that'll be being installed this summer. We've got a complete, believe it or not, a client with a two-tower directional array, and they are waiting on the delivery of all new antenna tuning units, a new phaser, and reinvesting in directional AM radio. So we'll be doing that this summer.
I'm going to look forward to hearing more stories when you're on the show for an hour.
We'll have a lot of fun.
Good deal. And it's nice to meet your son, too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Joe works with me and has for a number of years. And we're a small company, but it's not just me. I have another engineer that's back in Minnesota right now putting out fires. And Mark Anderson has worked for us for a couple of years now. So I can maybe not have to be out in the field quite as much as I used to be. And come here and enjoy some time in Las Vegas and get to see you gentlemen.
And speaking of gentlemen,
just
looking at Gary Morrill, the first word that comes to mind is curmudgeonly, isn't it? No, it's not.
Sure.
Gary, it's great to know you, and you're always smiling, and obviously curmudgeonly doesn't describe you at all.
We're having fun.
Yeah, that's right.
But we've never had too much fun.
So what's going on in your engineering world lately?
Well, there's just a ton of stuff going on, you know, and I'm sure people have talked about it more than just myself, but all this stuff with the pandemic just accelerated all of these trends that we saw coming, okay?
Yeah.
And they had to. Fortunately, some of us were a little bit ahead of the curve, so that made our life a little more pleasant. But everybody and his brother now is looking at all of this capability. And interestingly enough, Jim, even in your area of the country, there's more connectivity coming than we've had.
Yep.
And it's more reliable. And so and often there's more than one option now. So if you can have connectivity from a couple sources, it kind of eliminates backhoe fade.
Yep.
And we're seeing so much stuff now that is just going to the cloud. And some people are intimidated by that.
Sure.
It makes me feel bad about it because it actually simplifies everybody's life once you get a feel for it. And quite frankly, working with the education committee at the SBE,
we're very attuned to the fact that people want to grow in that area and might not be comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. We are spending a ton of our time in our education efforts to help people get up to speed on that stuff. So it's available to people. All they got to do is afford themselves of it. But I encourage people all the time, and I've met so many people here at the show, and I just say, hey, you know, if you want to reach out, my contact information is on SBE.org. Feel free to shoot me a line.
You know, learning to use cloud-based infrastructure, it's like learning anything else new. And some of what, well, very little of what you might know as an engineer is applicable. You've got new things to learn. And AWS, Amazon Web Services, has a huge booth here at the show in the West Hall. And they were just swamped the whole time. And most of it was people doing video production in a cloud environment.
Yeah.
Now, you know that if, hey, we're in radio, and in some ways, I think radio can be a bit more difficult. Timing is critical. We have a lot of live production going on. But my point is that if these services are geared up and designed to handle video production, they can also handle audio production.
Yeah, they'll pass audio just fine.
Yeah.
And with pretty low latency. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I got excited about here at this show, and it's not on the floor, but I have to tell you, I spoke with over a half dozen educators from different universities, like some two-year schools and stuff. And when they found out, oh, you're with education there at SBE, we're exchanging cards, and they're going, we have a broadcast program, but we don't have a technical side to it. We're excited about the opportunities there, and we're going to retool what we have available from the society to work with those folks, because let's face it, their instructors don't know either, but there we can be a resource to folks. And so you had Jim on earlier. Jim and I were talking about this at great length, but I foresee in the not too distant future some opportunities for the people who said, well, I can't go to school anyplace. Well, if that's what you really want to do, if you're not a self-starter, and that's okay if you don't self-study, we may have some opportunities for you in the not too distant future.
Good deal. And there's resources at SBE.org, Fundamentals of Networking, and I'm sure we'll be adding things to cover what people are doing with places like Amazon and other cloud-based.
Absolutely. And the other area that we're focusing on, and people will say, what's that got to do with engineering? But we were having a really good conversation the other night and talking about the fact that usually people get hired into our industry for their technical skills.
Right.
But they get promoted because of their interpersonal skills. And working with other people. And let's face it, engineers tend to gravitate towards our industry because they like things more than they like people. Okay? I'm just being honest here. But the fact is, if we can help them to develop their interpersonal skills so that they can have an enjoyable time working with other departments and stuff, they'll grow and they'll make a career out of it, which is what we all want to help them do.
Good deal. Cool. Gary, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Jim.
Yes.
Thank you. Good to see you, too. We look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you for your time yesterday and your education.
That was a good lunch.
Well, it was. Yeah. It was tasty, too.
Yeah, it was. It was a good chicken. That's the best $14 chicken sandwich I've ever had.
I agree with you on that. And the cook told us so.
Yes, they did. They did. All right. Hey, Chris Tarr, welcome back in. You've heard all this. Do you have any wrap-up comments for us, Chris?
No, I completely agree with Gary about, from what I'm understanding with some of the stuff that we've seen today, that in some ways this break because of the pandemic has been good because there's been a lot of innovation in spaces that I think we needed to go, but we weren't there yet. You know, just even looking around from what I can see in the background, it's really much more now technology, more, you know, IT, cloud-based, IP-based than it used to be with physical consoles and physical this and that. I think that, you know, there was a big leapfrog. If you look at the last NAB convention to this one and the types of offerings that there are, there's been a big leap there. Also, I wanted to, before I forget, because Jim reminded me of this, my tip of the week is actually based on the Livewire delegation switcher. Now, I can't take credit for this because it was my coworker who helped me figure this out. But we kind of reverse engineered how the LiveWire delegation switcher worked. And we use Symbian for automation, and we were using Broadcast Tools 8x2 switchers. And we wanted to really get rid of that because we're doing audio over IP. And that was really the only analog link we had, was we had to run everything through the switcher. But it turns out that with Symbian, you can send PowerShell scripts and control things that way. So we now do all of our switching in the Axia node itself based on what the LiveWire delegation switcher did. So now when we need to make an audio route change or something else, or we get a closure in, it actually runs a PowerShell script that sends the command to the node that does the audio change. So again, that's kind of the, you know, that's not necessarily the tip in as much as, you know, keep your mind open and play. It took us a couple hours just kind of playing around to make this work. But that was a lot of fun, and we learned a whole lot while doing that. So always be learning. And that also kind of goes with what Gary was talking about. By the way, he has done just a fantastic job in the education committee with SBE, helping create the TPT program. That was his brainchild, where, you know, we're bringing people in as part of the mentorship program and hooking them up and teaching them skills and getting them to the point where they can hopefully pass the CBT exam and get well on their way to a career in broadcasting. So, you know, Gary was talking about some of these other schools. He's really been on the front line of this whole thing, trying to push that along through the education program at SBE, getting those new engineers into the program. So hats off to him for the work that he's done.
Chris, thanks a lot for your tip. And, you know, actually, I want a quick mention over to Suncast. I provided a video to Suncast. We don't have time to play it today, so we'll hit it next week or on a future show. Do want to remind you that Scott Feibusch has been here, and I was dilatory in getting my tower calendar this year. Look it up. And so I got my tower calendar this year from Scott Feibusch. He's got him at feibusch.com if you haven't gotten your tower calendar yet. And the pictures are still good, even if the months have passed by. We got to go. Chris Tarr, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thank you for watching and telling your friends about This Week in Radio Tech. Thanks to Suncast for producing the show on such short notice. Really appreciate it, Suncast, working with us to get a time where we could actually do the show here during NAB. We got to go. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye.